Hello, good evening, and welcome to the BizNews Briefing. Well, in our big stories tonight, we're going to look at the deal that at least for a period has saved 15,000 jobs. That's between Eskom, Glencore, and Samancor. We'll also be finding an interesting idea that Corky Coyman's brought back from Uzbekistan for the South African government, and disenfranchised South Africans can now reclaim their citizenship by going just to an online portal. But first, let's start off with the corporate news of the day. And the big story is an investment of almost 10 billion rand by Mr. Price. It's the boldest move by this retailer, probably in its history. And it's going to buy a German mini-me for, well, 9.6 billion rand. There have been a lot of disasters of South African retailing companies that have gone offshore. Only this week we heard more bad news from Spar, who had to exit Switzerland and Poland. And the move by Famous Brands into Malaysia reminded us of the 2 billion rand that it dropped when buying Gourmet Burger King in the UK a few years ago. But Mr. Price reckons they can finally break the curse of South African retailers abroad. We'll be watching very closely. Well, forget Transnet's woes. South Africa Inc. can look to Maputo and indeed to a company called Grindrod, which has brought out a trading statement today on the Stock Exchange News Service to say that it's in rude health, and in particular, smashing records at the Matola terminal, which is in the Maputo harbor, and the main Maputo terminal as well, where they have concessions. They are exporting a lot of South African products through there, and Grindrod is actually making itself now a reliable alternative to the pretty unreliable Transnet. And finally, in the corporate news for today, HCI's Johnny Copeland, the executive chairman, is putting his money where his mouth is. HCI has been buying back its own shares. Indeed, it spent 650 million rand on that, essentially picking up a rand's worth of assets for 60 cents in the rand. This is a very strong vote of confidence in the company, eating your own cooking to enrich the shareholders who are along for the ride with you. Well, on to that top story for today. And I spoke a little earlier today to Agnes Mlambo. She's the group executive at Eskom for distribution. This after the news that came out yesterday that the negotiations between Eskom, Glencore, and Samancor have resulted in breathing space for the smelters, which were on the edge of disaster while closing down. They were given a 40% discount to the normal Eskom prices 2 years ago, but even that hasn't been enough. I asked Ms. Mlambo whether she felt confident that this latest deal, when it expires at the end of February, is going to result in a satisfactory conclusion.
That's a difficult question. I am confident. I'm confident because we have all the stakeholders that are coming to the party. So this is not just an Eskom issue. It is not just the Glencore Samancor. It is also the government's interest to make this work. And for me, if we have all the stakeholders, including Labour, by the way, if we have all the stakeholders finding a solution, there's just no way that we will not be able to find a solution that can work. May not be perfect, but we should be able to find something. So I'm really confident on that basis because we're not working alone. It's a joint mission.
Can we anticipate from this engagement that we'll see a new deal coming for the way that Eskom operates with industry in South Africa?
Yes, we are going to expect a new deal and a new way of doing business, but it's not just because of me. It is an executive direction that we have taken, led by the GCE, Dan Marugane. So it's not just a distribution charted a path, but it is really led by the GCE. And we've got the full ministers a support. It's actually at national level. It is not just a distribution issue. It's not just an ESCOM, but it is spearheaded by the minister as well.
So if you bottom line it for the South African public, what would you say has come out of these last few days, and how will things be different in future?
We have everyone worried. We have everyone applying their mind, and we have everyone thinking differently. The outcome, we're yet to get there.
But everyone's trying to find a solution that will work in the best interest of the country and employment and wealth creation, I guess.
Yes, we're working 24/7, really working 24/7. You would not believe that it's an engagement almost every 4 hours around the space. And that is why I'm saying we've got everyone thinking and applying their mind and exploring everything that we can think of. And yeah, there is no stone unturned. But yes, we are still a long way, and we've got a commitment that we are all going to work throughout December to be able to meet the deadline. It is a tight deadline. We don't have much time.
Michelle's a mom who traded in her Fiat 500 for this beast right here. But why the momentous move, huh?
I needed something bigger to keep up with my growing son and his many sports bags.
When you traded in your car with We Buy Cars, was it an easy conversion?
I see what you did there. The process was just so easy. I was given a tablet, had to sign, and that was it.
Basically, We Buy Cars is no mess, no fuss. Okay, it was nice chatting. We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
Denker Capital's founder, Kokki Kooiman, is our go-to guy when it comes to anything about financial investments. That means investments into banks or insurance companies. He is respected globally and spends a lot of time having a look at how the global banks are operating. He's just got back from a meeting of more than 25 East European banks in Prague, and he met for the first time someone from Uzbekistan, the Uzbekistan bank, who had some very interesting suggestions. Here's Kokki.
And on to Prague, where we saw about 22 different banks from all over that central and southern eastern European area, including first time I've seen the bank from Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan. It was very interesting.
Who did you see from Kazakhstan and Uzbekistan?
So Kazakhstan, there are two banks. The one is Halyk Bank, and the other one is a company that's quite well known. A lot of funds own it, Kaspi. And in Uzbekistan, we actually, there are no listed banks there. Well, in fact, there is one, a state-owned bank, but they are busy with something that's very interesting, a unit that has been set up to list all the SOEs. So what they've done, effectively, if you talk South Africa, they've put Eskom, Telkom, Postkantoor, SOEK, everything together into one company, which they're going to list on the stock exchange. And the idea is then to also, those companies individually must list. And they took us through the process. So they managed to get about, I think it's 25 external experts into the country who have come to stay there for the year while they're doing this whole project. People from Bain, McKinsey, KPMG, et cetera, who've had experience in this type of thing. There was a similar one in Romania where they've worked on that as well. Idea is really to get transparency and accountability. So as you know, as soon as you put something on the stock exchange, you then have to explain to external shareholders why you need funds and what you're going to do with this, and you've got to explain your results to you. And just to end this off, there were two fascinating things, but two was that they negotiated with the Uzbekistani government in this whole process. The first one, that CEOs and top management can be fired. So there's no, someone gets the job because he's, the second one is that the board must be independent. So they had the right that potential and future shareholders and shareholders can elect the board with a majority of them being non-government. Because else they say you'll never have the trust. So it actually was very interesting. Uzbekistan is now growing at 6-7% per year, real growth, a real good story, Kazakhstan as well. So, and that's really what attracted us. You know, what are these countries doing that South Africa could be doing? And, you know, that was one, you know, to really get experts in and open yourself up to transparency and accountability.
I suppose the difficulty would be to get Bain and McKinsey back in South Africa after the way they...
Wrong names. You're quite right. But they're enough other experts.
In the past couple of years, thousands of South Africans who've been living abroad have actually lost their citizenship. And it apparently was done so illegally. Well, that's the finding of the Constitutional Court. And now the Department of Home Affairs has made it easier for thousands. In fact, hundreds of thousands of South Africans who want to perhaps come back to our country but can't do so because they've lost their citizenship. Well, it's now a lot easier. They can go online through a portal. My colleague, Linda van Tilburg, had a chat with the mover and shaker behind the story.
For over 30 years, South Africans automatically lost their citizenship if they took up another nationality without first securing approval from Home Affairs. In May, the Constitutional Court struck down that rule, allowing thousands of expats to reclaim their South African status. To give effect to the judgment, the Department of Home Affairs launched a digital portal where people abroad can check their standing and formally reinstate their citizenship. Mary Packard, the DA's global project manager, says the party's victory follows a decade-long legal battle.
Well, basically, in 2014, we were hearing a lot of cases of people that were just had their started having their citizenships retracted, and we're like, and the complaints were coming in, and we were really worried, and so we decided that this has to is not. It's unconstitutional, so we decided to take this to court and fight this. And of course, eventually, after many years, over 10 years, we finally won it, but we had to go through many political streams. And there we go. We are here today, and it's a big win, and it's something that we're very proud about because we care about our citizens.
Well, it's been live for about 2 weeks now, the portal. Has everything been running smoothly?
We've had a few little few issues, but nothing detrimental. Technical issues happen everywhere. So, and the biometrics is the main one. So the biometrics is basically having to have your passport flat. The lighting has to be great. You've got to make sure that your camera is on an angle. So, and there's a video now that we put on that has helped. Well, that the Department of Home Affairs has done and is up, and it's showing them how they have it done.
So how many South Africans have been affected by this?
Gosh, if I can only speak in percentage, because really I can't. We've got about 90% of South Africans that have been affected globally. And the rest, well, those are the ones that opted out, didn't want it. There you go. So we're working on helping those that really needed it back and didn't understand what was going on.
Well, that's it for your briefing for today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Well, then, cheerio.